We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. We are in a series with Pastor Todd McIntyre called Leaders Go First. Let's listen in as he talks about the role of a man as a leader of his family.
Welcome back to the Men's Summit podcast. You know, we created this podcast to help men become more Christ-like, because when men display Jesus in their home, the whole family gets closer to Christ. Guys, it's an honor that you take time every week to listen to this podcast, and I don't want you to underestimate the choice you're making to invest in your personal growth. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they're going to be filled." The promise Jesus makes here that when you hunger and thirst for righteousness, when you go after him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength, when you take time to listen to a podcast and have your quiet time, when you spend time with God, the Bible says that he's going to fill you up. And really what it's saying here, he's going to fill you up with righteousness. So he may point out some things in your life that maybe aren't so righteous. He may point out some things in your life that you're struggling with. And it's not because he wants to punish you. God loves you. He wants the best for you. It's because he wants to show you what you're doing that's hurting you in your marriage, hurting you with your kids, hurting you at work. And he wants to anoint you that when you walk into a room, you change the very atmosphere of that room because you have the Holy Spirit living inside you. You know, all of my life, I've hungered and thirst for righteousness. I've really wanted God in my life. But I can tell you there's been a lot of times where I think that I'm doing righteous things, and then the very next moment, I'm struggling. This weekend, I was talking to my wife, and I felt like we were having a great conversation. And all of a sudden, she started asking me some questions about some things, and I didn't realize it, but I got real dogmatic about what I wanted in this conversation. And then she's trying to get dogmatic what she wants in the conversation. And all of a sudden, she just stops and starts crying. And I'm like, what is happening? We're having a great conversation. And she's upset. She's frustrated. And then she tells me there's times when we're having a conversation that I won't let her share. And I overtalk. And guys, I can tell you honestly, my heart at that moment was for Debbie. My heart at that moment was also for what I wanted, but I thought I was doing well. It kind of reminds me of what happened to Peter. In Matthew 16, it's a really cool conversation that Peter has with Jesus. Actually, Jesus is having a conversation with all of his disciples, and he asks them, "Who do people say that I am?" And you guys know this story. In Matthew 16, Peter declares that Jesus is the Son of God. And then he gets like the best affirmation ever from Jesus. Jesus says, "You know, you didn't hear that because you're so smart. You heard that because the Holy Spirit was speaking through you. Well done, Peter. And on this revelation that you just gave us, I'm going to build my church." And then Jesus starts talking about how he's going to die. And Peter, I'm sure, feeling so bold, feeling so good about how he was able to give the right answer. I don't know if you've ever felt that in school. You gave the right answer. You feel like you understand. You passed the test. And right after this, Jesus talks about how he's going to die. And then Peter pulls Jesus aside and starts rebuking Jesus. And then Jesus makes this statement in verse 23. It says, "Jesus turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You don't have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns.'" You know what's crazy here is one moment we can be doing great and the next moment we can be struggling. And today I want to talk about how this happens in our marriage and how God wants to use our marriage to help us to become Christ-like. And I thank God for my wife, because what's happened in my marriage, what I've learned from my wife, is that there are things that I've tolerated in my life that I think are good, but they've actually hurt me. There's things in my life that I thought were okay, but I was tolerating sin that needed to be ripped out of my life, or I was tolerating ways I do things that were actually hurting my kids, hurting me at work. And so God has used my marriage to help me become more like him. You know, a couple weeks ago, if you've heard the podcast, if you've been listening to us, I talked about my first marriage coach. My first marriage coach was a guy named Frank Seekins. Seekins is spelled S-E-E-K-I-N-S. I encourage you to go online and listen to Frank Seekins and get his books, because he is an incredible man of God. But what he's an expert at is old Hebrew language, which is literally 22 pictures that God used to write all the first part of the Bible. In fact, until Babylon took control of Israel, they use these 22 pictures as their language that they wrote with. And it's really interesting because the way these pictures are displayed explains a lot about how we're supposed to live our lives. And so Frank, when he was talking to us about marriage, he showed us the picture of marriage. And it literally was the word picture for man on top of the word picture for woman. And anytime you saw those two word pictures together, you knew it meant marriage. And I want to explain to you what these word pictures are. And I want to show you and talk to you about something that Frank taught me that literally revolutionized the way I think about my marriage and my role in my marriage as a man. So the first picture I want to explain to you is the picture for man, which is really a word called ish. And there's three pictures. And the first picture for the word man is an ox head. Literally, it's translated as the leader or strong or first. The second picture in the word picture for man is literally right arm of God. They call it the yud. It looks like the right arm of God. And the third picture for man, it looks like a W or teeth, but literally it's a picture for devourer. So man has three word pictures. He's got the leader, the ox, he's got the right hand of God, and he's got this W, or he's got this teeth or fire or devourer. For woman, it's almost the same thing. The first picture for woman is the ox. And again, it's the leader. It's the one that goes first. The second one is the teeth or the fire, which is the third picture for man. So for woman, it goes the ox, then it goes the teeth. And then the last picture that we see of woman is literally the breath of God. It's the ish, it's the hey, it's the ha, it's the breath of God. In fact, when Abraham's name was changed from Abram to Abraham, God put that ha in his name. When Sarai's name was changed to Sarah, you see that ha, and it's really a representation of the Holy Spirit. So there's two pictures in man and there's two pictures in woman that are identical, the ox and the teeth. But there's two pictures that distinguish them. There's two pictures that show the difference between man and woman. In man, it's the right arm of God. In woman, it's the breath of God. Here's what's really cool. If you take out the middle picture for man, which is the right arm of God, and you take out the last picture for woman, which is the breath of God, and you put them together, they literally spell the word Yahweh. Why is that a big deal? Because when you see the picture of man and the picture of woman, and you see it in marriage, you literally can see the very Shekinah glory, the very presence of God. Now, let me just tell you how powerful this is. It's the same word that would represent the Holy of Holies in the temple. That when marriage is going well, when God is in the middle of your marriage, when you have God in the center of everything you're doing, rabbis will teach you that you are literally allowing the presence of God into your home, and it changes the atmosphere of your home just like it did in the Holy of Holies. It's very reverent. It's very powerful. It's very strong. But what's also interesting, if you take out those pictures, that middle picture for man and the last picture for woman, what you have left is the ox and the teeth. And if you put the ox and the teeth together, they spell the word fire. Fire is powerful. Fire is something that can destroy things. Fire is something that can purify things. Fire is used for many different reasons. But what's crazy about this, if God's not in the center of your marriage, rabbis will teach you this, that all you have left is fire, the devourer. Now, what's even crazier is if you put a word on top of a word. So when man is on top of woman, we have the word marriage. But when you put the same word on top of the same word, it doubles the meaning. So the meaning of man and woman with God taking out is fire of all fires. It's like Lord of Lords, King of Kings. When the word is on top of a word, all you have left without God is fire of all fires. And you can see in every marriage, when God is not the center of the marriage, when self becomes the center of the marriage, when what I want becomes the center of the marriage, when I don't get what I want and I get angry and I start judging my wife or she starts judging me, when I'm not pursuing God in my marriage, all I have left is the strongest devourer that's possible on the face of the earth, fire of all fires. And let me tell you, I have felt that. When Debbie and I are in a fight, I can't even function at work. I feel like just a slug. I can't even do what God's called me to do, and I struggle. But when Debbie and I are good, when our marriage is doing well, there's nothing greater. Like, I can't wait to go home and see her. I can't wait to take her on a date on Friday. I can't wait to be with her. It is awesome. I just feel the presence of God. But here's what's even cooler about these words, because God is so amazing. He's so deep. If you take the word man, in the middle of fire, which is the ox, the right arm of God, and the devourer, if in the middle of that is the distinction for God, for men, right in the middle of the strong fire is where the purification for man takes place. In other words, men, we get purified in the middle of the fire. Doesn't that remind you of James? James 1, where it says, count it all joy when you go through trials of many kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance. First, perseverance must finish its work so you can become mature and complete, not lacking anything. In other words, there's things that we're lacking that only perseverance in a trial will help us get. And for men, you get purified in the middle of that fire. For women, it's different. Their picture for God is at the end of the fire. In other words, women get purified after the fire is done. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but there's times where my wife is accusing me of things. Or there's times in my life where my wife's trying to point out things and I feel accused. It's probably a better description of it. And I'm just thinking, you do the same things. Like, I've watched you do the same things you're telling me that I do, and I get frustrated with her. But here's the reality. I'm supposed to go first. I'm supposed to be the first one to go after God and allow God to purify my life, to give my heart to God, and allow God to mold my heart and make it into a Christ-like heart, take it from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. That is my job. And when I'm in the fire, when I'm in that trial, when I'm in that circumstance, it's the time where I have an opportunity to become more like Christ. If I handle the circumstance well, I become more like Christ. If I don't handle it well, it can actually burn me up and kill me. Women, it's different. After we finish getting purified, then they get to see. They see finally what they need to do to change. And what's amazing is we go first. We lead the way. Our wives will follow us. Guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the reason you are married is far greater than just you having a companion. The reason you are married is far greater than just you having someone that you can procreate with, someone you can have sex with. The reason you are married is more than just having a lady who can be next to you, that will do your laundry at times, that will help you be great with whatever you're doing. The reason you are married is because God has given you someone to help show you things in your life that are actually destroying you, that are actually hurting you, that are actually stopping you from being the Christ-like man that God wants you to be. Because God knows this, when you're acting like Jesus, you will affect the world. When you're acting like Jesus, you will make an impact in your office. When you're acting like Jesus, you will make an impact on your kids. When you're acting like Jesus, God can use you to do things that will blow your mind. When you're not acting like Jesus, all we have left is destruction. And so you get to choose. Will I allow my marriage to help me become more Christ-like? Will I listen for things that I might be doing that hurts my wife's feelings or hurts my kids? Will I actually make the adjustments I need to make? Or will I just start accusing them for doing what I do and saying, you can't judge me because whatever? Are you going to let God move in your life? You get to choose. This is the coolest part about God, and this is probably the hardest part about God. He allows you to choose. He never forces you to do anything. If you will make the choice today to allow your marriage to make you more like Christ, I promise you, you're going to be better off. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these men I thank you, God, that you're using our wives to help us become more like Christ. They truly are our helpers. They truly are helping us see things in our life that we've not been able to see. Like you showed Peter when he was giving into his fears and his insecurities, that he was literally speaking on Satan's behalf and you shut him down. That there are times in our lives that we've literally spoken on Satan's behalf. And God, we don't want to do that. We want to present you. We want to honor you in everything in our lives. We want to hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because God, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, you said you would fill us up because you love us and you care about us. And so Lord, I pray right now that your presence would just fill these guys' cars, their homes, their offices, wherever they are, Lord, that you would fill them. And Lord, they would feel your presence because Lord, we know it's in your presence we find freedom. And Lord, we're fighting for your presence in our lives. We're fighting to get closer to you. We're fighting to be the men you want us to be. And Lord, we thank you that you're meeting us right there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.